This is WFAE's Morning Edition. I'm Marshall Terry. Insurance giant Centene passed up a much more lucrative offer to put its regional headquarters just over the border in South Carolina. The company, which announced this month it will build the facility in Charlotte's University area, qualifies for up to $450 million in state and local incentives. Public records show South Carolina and York County offer twice that much in an attempt to get the development project. For more, we turn now to Tony Macia of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter for our segment, BizWorthy. Tony, that's a lot of money that Centene passed on. What about Charlotte won them over?
Well, Marshall, it is a lot of money. You know, Centene was looking at the old Knights baseball site in Fort Mill, the old stadium site down there. And, you know, South Carolina's offer was much more lucrative, but they ultimately landed on Charlotte up in the university area where they're going to build a big campus up there. And we don't really know the specific thinking, but, you know, when they said that they were going to come to Charlotte and create all these jobs and all this investment, they did say, you know, they liked Charlotte as a city. They liked, I think, the proximity to UNC Charlotte. They liked being near the light rail line. They felt like it was a pretty good location for them to grow. And so, yes, they did leave a lot of money on the table in leaving in not taking that offer from South Carolina, but I think they see a lot of advantages in Charlotte in the university area.
Two large tech companies in the Charlotte area, Red Ventures and LendingTree, have told their employees to expect to work from home for the rest of the year. Are other companies going to follow suit?
Charlotte Agenda had this article this week that, you know, that said that those two tech companies, that they were sending their employees, they're going to keep them at home for the rest of the year, reevaluate at the beginning of the year. LendingTree, of course, is building a new building in Southend, so the timing works out pretty well for them that they can just go ahead and move right into that building when that opens, I think, expected next year. But I think you're going to see more of this. You know, this is something tech companies nationwide have been doing. You know, a lot of the big tech companies on the West Coast have done this. There's a lot of competition for tech workers, and so this is sort of seen as a way to, you know, show workers and potential workers, you know, that you're providing a good quality place to work, as well as, you know, it makes some sense working from home. You know, we're going to have schools closed for an unknown period of time. A lot of people are really going to need that flexibility if they're able to work from home. So, you know, it seems like it makes sense. And I think we're going to see more of this. The banks, the big banks in town, they have said they're looking at the timing of bringing people back. In the case of Wells Fargo and Bank of America, it's not going to be before Labor Day. I wouldn't be surprised to see that date pushed back even farther.
Several retail stores, including JCPenney, Neiman Marcus, and Brooks Brothers, have filed for bankruptcy amid the pandemic. Now there's mention that Belk could be joining that list. What are you hearing?
You know, Marshall, you and I have talked before about the trouble that the retail sector has had. Big retailers have had problems even before COVID, and now, you know, it's becoming a real problem. And, you know, the revenues are down, sales are down. You know, they still have a bunch of debt payments. Belk was on a list that the Wall Street Journal reported in the last week as being a company that might have some trouble making its debt payments sometime in the next year. You know, certainly that's something a lot of retailers are going through.
As you've mentioned, we've talked a lot the past few months about the challenges retail stores and also restaurants are facing because of the pandemic. We have not talked about how museums are adapting to the new reality, and that's something actually that the Ledger dived into this week. So what are museums doing to stay afloat?
It is kind of interesting, Marshall. You know, if you look at museums, they are still closed in North Carolina. They're starting to reopen in other parts of the country, which might make some sense when you think about all the retail that is open. And you say, well, what's different between a museum and a retail establishment? But museums are still closed in North Carolina under Governor Cooper's existing order. They're going to stay closed for at least the next few weeks. But some of the museums in Charlotte, they are trying to adapt to that. They're going to online events. They're holding online discussions, previews. And they're also, some of them are kind of coordinating their responses, so that I think you're going to see the several of the museums uptown, they've been coordinating their reopening plans. Whenever that date is, they don't know exactly when that date's going to be, but they've been working together to try to figure out solutions, how they can keep maybe a little bit of revenue coming in, how they can stay afloat.
All right, Tony, thanks.
Thanks, Marshall.
That's Tony Macia of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter. You're listening to WFAE's Morning Edition.